And so my message today is get ready, prepare for the kingdom of God. Last time, and you need to, if you weren't here last Sunday, you need to get a CD. They're only a dollar. And you need to get it because I gave the whole plan of God, 7,000-year plan of God, in one service. And we did it very simply by using this box. And the point is, and I'm going to do just a brief review this morning, because it pertains to what I'm going to say after this. Very simply, in the beginning, God had a plan. He built a box. The box that he built, we call the universe. And he put in that universe all the galaxies and all the planets and all the stars. And he put in that universe a planet called Earth, which he made especially for man. And the point was that God wanted man to accept him and his plan throughout some time in their lifetime, that they might be with him forever. God is, one of the names of God is Father. And the Father wanted a family, and that's what he's doing today. He's calling out a family for his name. Not everybody's going to come, but he's given the invitation out today, come to me and get into the plan of God. And there's a way to do that, which I'm going to talk about a little bit later. But I'm going to briefly talk about this. So God had a plan. He put man in it, but he said, you're going to have to do it my way. The first thing he did, he put two trees in a garden and put two people, and he said, you're to eat of one tree, the tree of life. You're not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They failed. And they were removed from the garden. And then God brought in a plan that he had before the foundation of the world. It was not a surprise to God that man was going to sin. And it wasn't a surprise when it happened, so he brought in his plan, which very simply, man was going to need a substitute to pay for that sin. The issue is very simply this. Either we pay for our sin for eternity, or someone else pays for that sin, and that someone else we know is Christ. Once a person comes to Christ, he then begins what we will call the race. The race is very simply this, being prepared for the coming kingdom of God. We know from studying Scripture that there's going to be a time when in the future, very close probably, that Jesus is going to come for his church. He's going to take the church out. That's all the baptized believers in the world. And then there's going to be a 7-year tribulation period. That 7-year tribulation period is designed to do two things. One, to bring Israel to God. And number two, to show man his sin. Then God is going to have a kingdom on this earth, and Jesus Christ is going to reign from the city of Jerusalem for 1,000 years. We are preparing for that time because we are going to be with him. Once you're saved, once you go up in the rapture to be with Christ, wherever he is, you will be with him or near him in eternity. This plan of God is Jesus Christ in the future is going to reign for 1,000 years. Now, if we are overcomers in this life, and that's what I'm teaching on how to be an overcomer, if you're an overcomer, you will rule and reign with Jesus Christ in this kingdom. We're not saved by works, but we get our eternal rewards by works. Then, after that 1,000-year reign of God, we're going to be in eternity with Christ forever. Now, I didn't give you the whole thing. It took me almost an hour last Sunday to teach this. And then, after this kingdom, people are either going to be in what we call heaven or what the Bible calls eternal hell. It's just that simple. Now, I am teaching this plan. Primarily, what I'm going to talk about today is the race that we're in now. I'm going to explain it. I'm going to talk about it. I'm going to give you some rules of the race of God, because this is what we're supposed to be doing now in His kingdom. So, let's look in Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, and I'm going to give you a quick rundown of what the Bible calls the last days. And so, this really is not going to mean a whole lot to you unless you are a Christian. A Christian is someone that has turned their life over, if I can put it that way, to the Lord Jesus Christ. All right. I'm just going to run through this like a race real quick. It's going to be Matthew 24. Jesus went out, departed from the temple, and His disciples came to Him, show Him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, "See you not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." And that's exactly what happened in 70 A.D. Titus of Rome came in, destroyed the temple, and tore it completely down. Then in verse 3, "And He sat upon the Mount of Olives, and His disciples came to Him privately, saying," and this is what we should be asking the Lord now today, "Tell us, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of Your coming? And what is going to go on basically at the end of the age?" That's what I'm going to explain quickly today. Verse 4, Jesus answered and said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you." Because now in verse 5, He's going to start telling them what's going to happen. It started 2,000 years ago. It's going to end a few years ahead of us. He said, "Take heed no man deceive you, for many shall come in My name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars," and obviously that's going on. They say there's probably about 24 wars going on planet Earth every single day in some place or another. Might not be a major war, but there's wars going on, whether it's between tribes or whether it's between nations or whatever it is. And so what Jesus said is true. Verse 7, "Nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines, pestilence, earthquakes, various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows." So now He comes to the place where the seven-year tribulation, which is future, is going to start. That's what this is going to be talking about now. The beginning of the seven-year tribulation period. It's between what we call the race, where we are now, and the kingdom of God. It's going to be between the two. Okay. 7 years of tribulation on this earth. I guarantee you that the Word of God says it's going to happen. It says, "All these are the beginning of sorrows. They shall deliver you up to be afflicted. They shall kill you. You shall be hated of all nations for My name's sake." He's talking about Christians. "Then many will be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Many false prophets shall rise. Because of iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall grow cold. But he that endures or overcomes unto the end, the same shall be saved." Now, what He's talking about here is the seven-year tribulation. We will not be there for that. We're going to be taken up before the seven-year tribulation. Verse 14, "And the gospel of this kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness to all nations, and then shall the end come." Now, this is, verse 15 starts the middle of the tribulation period, the middle of the 7 years. "When you shall see therefore the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whosoever readeth, let him understand." Now He's primarily talking to the Jews here. He's talking about the Antichrist standing in the holy place of God in Jerusalem in the future, declaring that He is God. "Then shall they who are in the mountains in Judea flee, them who are in the mountains of Judea flee to the mountains," excuse me, Let him who is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. This has nothing to do with you and I. It has to do with Israel. Neither let him who is in the field return back to take his clothes, and woe unto those who are with child, and so on. Verse 21, middle of the tribulation. Then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. Except those days should be shortened, there will be no flesh saved. Let's go on down. Verse 27, for as lightning cometh out of the east and shines even to the west, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man be. That's the second coming of Christ. For wherever the carcass is, there will be the eagles gathered. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, and so on. It goes on there. Now, I want to go down to chapter 25, verse 1, because he's going to talk about the kingdom of heaven. Now, we will come back with him at the second coming. We're going to go up for 7 years, come back for him at the second coming. Then he says in chapter 25, verse 1, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps with no oil in them, but the wise took oil in their vessels and their lamps. And when the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. At midnight there was a cry came, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said unto them, unto the wise, give us your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, no, at least there not be enough for us and you, but go rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And they went out to buy, and the bridegroom came, and they that were ready ran in with to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterwards came the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know not neither the day or the hour in which the Son of Man comes. Now what that says is, in a nutshell, in the kingdom of God, not everybody is going to have the same place. It's going to depend on what you do in this life now in what I've called here the race. Now, in other words, if you're an overcomer in this life, you will rule and reign with Jesus Christ in his kingdom. If you are not an overcomer, you will be in the kingdom, but you will not rule and reign. It's very clear in the scriptures. Now, chapter 25 is all about how you become an overcomer. The first part of it is about those virgins which either had or had not oil in their lamp. Now, basically what that means, there are people that come to church and receive Christ, or they receive Christ someplace else, but they never really get into the Word of God. They never really look for God's plan for their life. And therefore, they're going to be the ones without oil in their lamp when Jesus comes. That's the point we're talking about. Okay? Now there's another group, and I want to show you this. Now, in chapter 25, verse 14, which is called the parable of the talents, and this specifically was put in here for you and I. And I want to show you, this is not everything, but this is part of how God is going to judge Christians at what is called the judgment seat of Christ. I talked about it last Sunday. Christians are going to be judged at a judgment seat, and they're going to be judged to see what rewards they will receive in heaven. Now, I went in great detail last Sunday, so I'm not going to do that again. But you get the CD. Now, I want you to see this because you will know after I finish this where you stand and possibility of what you're going to receive at the judgment seat of Christ. All right, verse 14, Matthew 25. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. Now we are the servants. This is talking about Christ. Christ has given this earth to us Christians to do the works of God. He has gone to a far country called heaven. Are you listening to me? Look at this carefully. This is so important. He said he called his servants, delivered unto them his goods. That's you and I. All right, verse 15. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. He didn't give everybody the same. He never gave the same responsibility to everybody. He gave some more than others. That's his business. It all belongs to him. Okay? I would say that somebody that's on Christian television probably has more responsibility than you and I. Are you listening? And they are just as responsible for what they have as we are responsible for what we have. He's not going to judge us according to the ones on Christian television. He's going to judge us according to what he's given us now in this life. All right. The overcomers are the ones that are going to take what God has given them and used it to the fullest. How many ever heard of Joni Erickson Tada, the gal that's in the paraplegic? She's in a wheelchair. She's a Christian. The only thing she can move is her neck and her head, paralyzed from there down. She's not going to have the same responsibility that you have that can walk on 2 legs and move your arms. You understand what I'm saying? She's only responsible for what God has given her to do in the condition she's in and in the place she's in. Okay? Now I'm going to try to explain this. If you have any questions at the end, you can ask me. But I'm going to try to explain this as simple as I can. All right. Now, it says, verse 15, he gave 1 5 talents, another 2, and to another 1. To every man, according to his ability, and straightway he took his journey. Christ left. Okay? And he that had received the 5 talents went out and traded with the same and made another 5 talents. In other words, he doubled what God gave him. Likewise, he that had 2, he gained other 2. He doubled what God gave him. But he that received 1 talent went out and dug in the earth and hid the Lord's money. It's talking about money here, but what he's talking about is abilities, gifts, responsibility, etc. In other words, we didn't just get saved. God just said, okay, just live the rest of your life any way you want to, and then when I come, I'll receive you and you're going to rule and reign with me. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. This hasn't been taught much in the body of Christ, but it's being taught now in several places because I've heard it taught. And the issue is that God's preparing us for his kingdom. So this is very simple but very true. All right. After a long time, about 2,000 years, for you and I, 60, 70, 80, 90, whatever years we have in this life. After a long time, the Lord of those servants comes and reckons with them. In other words, see what they did with the responsibility he gave them. And so he that received 5 talents came and brought another 5 talents. And look what the Lord said. Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I've gained beside them 5 more talents. And the Lord said to him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make you what? I'll make you what?
Ruler.
Ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." That sounds pretty good to me. Amen? All right, let's go on. Verse 22. "He also that received the 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou delivered unto me 2 talents. Behold, I've gained 2 other talents beside them. The Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." Sounds good to me. "Then he that received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I know you, you're a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, gathering where you have not spread. And I was afraid and went and hid my talent in the earth. And lo, there thou hast what is yours." I'm giving back what you gave me. "Lord said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant." You see, he's a servant just like the other 2. We're not talking about somebody saved and somebody lost here. We're talking about 3 servants of God, 3 Christians. All right. Now God counts from the time that you're saved to the time that you're with him. Could be 10 years, could be 20 years, could be 30, 40, whatever. Okay. Here's what the Lord said. "Thou wicked and slothful servant. Thou knew that I reap where I sow not and gather what I have not spread. Thou ought therefore to put your money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I would receive my own with interest. Therefore take the talent from him and give it to him that has 10 talents." Isn't that interesting? So if you don't use it, you lose it. Very simple. "For unto everyone that has shall be given, and everyone that shall have an abundance. But from him that has not shall be taken away even that he has. And cast to that unprofitable servant into outer darkness, where there be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Now, everybody says, okay, that servant didn't do anything. God cast him into hell. That's not what it says. You don't see hell there anyplace. It talks about something called outer darkness. Just before that it said, some of the virgins, they were all virgins, 5 went into the marriage, 5 were kept out because they didn't have oil in their lamp. Outside, if you want to put it this way, the mainstream of God. It is very definite in the Bible that not everybody's going to receive the same rewards. Not everybody is going to have the same station in heaven. Not everybody is going to rule and reign with Christ. Now, I say it again, not everybody is going to rule and reign with Christ. I didn't say it was going to be terribly bad. I just said, you're not going to be ruling and reigning with Christ. I think heaven's going to be good for everybody, but not everybody's going to have the same thing in heaven. I want to get this clear. So you need to learn these things to prepare now for later. We're not to bury what we have. We're not to go off and do our own thing. We're not to stay away from people. We are to use our gifts amidst people on this earth. Now, some people have taken this and they said, well, you have to lead people to Christ. Whoever leads more people to Christ is going to get a better reward than those that didn't lead as many to Christ. And I'm going to tell you right now, that's wrong. Leading people to Christ is important, but some people are going to have more of an opportunity and more of an ability and more gifts to lead more people to Christ. Some are not going to have that much opportunity. So it's not only just winning souls to Jesus that is important. It is how you live for Christ in the place and circumstances that God put you. Joni Erickson Tata is going to be responsible for the circumstances of being in that wheelchair and using the talent she does have for God. Some people are placed in all kinds of situations, from not growing up with a father, being involved in divorce, being involved in drugs, being involved in all kinds of things, and then they get saved. Well, they may not have some of the opportunities that other people have, but they'll be responsible from the time they're saved till the time they're with Christ as what they do with the abilities and circumstances that they are placed in. God is extremely fair. He's not fair, He's truth. He's just. It isn't a matter of fairness. There is a Supreme Court in heaven. Then we will stand before that, and what takes place will be absolutely just. But I'm here to tell you that God didn't save any of us to do nothing with it. You understand? We are to do something with it. And what I'm going to be teaching now in the next few months is how to use what God has given you in the race so that we will prepare for the kingdom. Not everyone, I'm going to keep saying this, not everyone's going to receive the same rewards, not everybody's going to receive the same status, not everybody's going to receive the same position. And it teaches at other places in the Bible. I'm not going to take time to do that today. Some places said it gave somebody, it was a different amount of whatever it was. And so we don't all have the same talents. God expects somebody that has a tremendously genius IQ. He has been given more responsibility, and he better use every bit of it for Christ, or he's going to be one of them shut out. You understand what I'm saying? It isn't who's the smartest. It's what you do with what God has given you in this life. And so there's going to be some extremely intelligent people and some very rich people that are going to be the bottom of the pile in heaven, if I can put it that way. Are you listening to me? There's going to be some people that had absolutely nothing that are going to be over three or four cities ruling and reigning in the kingdom of God. I love that part, you see. And so it is to take what God has given you. Everybody's responsible for certain things. Everybody's responsible to be in the Word of God. Everybody's responsible to be in the house of God. Everybody's responsibility to witness to your families and to your friends and to your workmates and all these people about Jesus Christ, if you know Him. We all have that responsibility, equally, in fact. But the fact is that God has given you special talents, special abilities, special gifts, spiritual gifts, and we need to seek everything that God has for us in this life. And I mean, we need to be seeking up to the last breath we take as to what God wants us to do at that stage of our life, at that age in our life, at whatever in our life. We can't use an excuse of what we did before we were saved. You're not even going to be able to use an excuse for sin after you're saved. That's not going to fly. It's not going anywhere. Now I want to get into a couple other things, but we'll just keep moving in this thing. Number one, three things I want to give you that you need to know right now. Three things. And this is the way you should live your life, by these three things. If you're a Christian, lost people are not going to be involved in any of this. They're going to be lost forever in eternal hell, but everybody can come to Christ. All right? Number one, You need to have this daily in your heart. All the sin of the past is forgiven. All the past, in fact, all the past is forgiven. Let's just put it that way. You need to understand this. There are people trying to straighten out the past. There's people guilty over the past. There's people, all it does is like carrying around a ball and chain all your life. The Bible says it's over. Good, bad, indifferent, whatever. All the past is forgiven. Okay, number two. All the present is available in God's power. All the present is available in God's power. Regardless of what you're doing, where you're at, what's happening, all the present is available in God's power. And number three, we all have the hope to rule and reign in the kingdom of God. That is our hope. Every single person here should have hope to wake up tomorrow, to wake up the next day, to be strong, to be alive, to be healthy, to be whole, because we all have the same opportunity to rule and reign in the kingdom of God. We don't all have the same abilities. We don't all have the same gifts. But we all have the opportunity to rule and reign in the kingdom of God. Let me go over it again. All the past is forgiven, period. All the present is available with God's power. Number three, we all have the hope to rule and reign with Christ. That should be your incentive to get up every single day. That should be on your mind. Past is forgiven. Forget about it. Move out. I didn't say people forgot it, but God does. It's over. It's done. Let it be done. Give it up. Give it away. Move on. In the power of God. But we have a hope to rule and reign in Christ. Without that hope, there is no reason to live. Who wants to live with the hope of going to hell? What's the point? There is none. None whatsoever. So, we're in a race. The race is you, yourself, and God. We're not racing against anybody else. We're racing against time, for one thing, because we only have so much of it. Somebody said if you figured it out, you only have so many weekends left. Next weekend, you have one less. What are you doing to prepare for the kingdom of God? You know, you can get a lot of people coming to church. We could have thousands if all we talked about the wonderful joy of heaven and everybody's going and you have no responsibility. Just come to church. Yeah, I'm feel good. That's right. That is not what the Bible teaches. We are all going to be responsible for every day, every hour, every minute. We're going to be responsible for every thought, every word, and every deed before God if we're Christians. Then we don't have to be afraid. We ought to be excited about it. Are you listening to me? We got time, hallelujah, to prepare for the kingdom of God. You see. And I had some people knock on my door yesterday, and they said, when you die, You die just like an animal. I said, you might be, but I'm not. They were Jehovah Witnesses. I'm not making fun of them. That's what they've been taught. It's sad. They said, you die. And I said, well, what about your spirit? Everything dies. That's what they said. I said, I got news. My spirit doesn't die. It's made like Jesus. You see? And we have to know why we're here. The disciples want to know, what's going to be happening, Lord? What's going to go on? When's the kingdom coming? We ought to be excited, Lord. What are you doing now? What are you doing in my life now? And we may be at home with five kids and a husband that doesn't even know the Lord, but we're responsible for that time to the Lord. Are you listening? In the circumstances we're in, to be overcomers and not let those circumstances take away our hope, because without Christ there is no hope. You see. Well, if you believe this, say amen.
Amen.
All right. Well, it's time to quit, and I just got started. Well, I'm going to show you some things, though. Okay. How do you get in to the race? How do you get into this race? How do you get in to the things of God? How do you break that barrier, if you want to put it that way? Look in Acts 4:12. I'm just now going to do the basics. I remember when I was in basic training in the service, I mean, it wasn't the most exciting thing I ever did in my life, I'll just have to tell you. They just did boring things like marching for miles. Or you went out and learned how to use a rifle, and you learned what happens if the enemy's using gas to kill you and all that kind of stuff. And some people say, oh, I heard all this stuff before. Well, are you doing it? I don't care what you heard. What are you doing? We've heard a lot of stuff. We've got notebooks home full of stuff. But what are we doing? Amen. That's it. Okay. Acts 4:12. Here's where the whole thing starts. Repeat after me. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That's the door into the plan of God. Jesus Christ. There is no other door. It's not works. It's not anything we do. It's what we receive and walk through. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. To get into the plan of God. There is no other way. If there was, I would tell you. Nobody told me what to say but the Word of God. And that's what God says. There's no other way. You can't do it through Buddha, in Islam, any of that stuff. Does that mean they're all going to hell? No. Some of them are coming to Christ. Christ is the only way to get into the plan of God for the ages. There is no other way. And now, how do you come to Christ? Well, I'm glad you asked. I'm going to give you about four things here, and then there's some other stuff. Number one, somewhere in your life, you have to respond to the Holy Spirit showing you your need for Christ. Somewhere in your life, you have to realize you're a sinner and you're lost without Christ. Might be when you're 4 years old, it might be when you're 80 years old. You got to come to that place. Number two, you have to be willing to repent of that sin, turn from it. You have to be willing to give your life to God, to change, have a change in your life. Number three, you have to receive Jesus Christ our Lord personally and everything he did to pay the price for your sin. In other words, if you don't allow Christ to pay for your sins on the cross of Calvary, you will pay for them in hell for eternity. That's as clear as I know how to tell it. If there's any other way, if I could pay you into heaven, I would do it. If I could try to convince you, I would do it. You have to make the choice to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. He is the only Savior. Either he dies for your sin and you're free, or you pay for your sin in eternity and you're in prison forever. That's the issue. There is no other one. That's it. Now, then, the fourth thing, if you're going to be an overcomer, you have to surrender your life to Christ. It's almost, should I put it this way? You have to allow Christ to capture your life and change it. You know, it's an interesting thing back in the Old Testament times, if the enemy would come in and they would capture a country, they would take the people of that country out of that country and put them into another country to change their lifestyle. That's exactly what God does. If you don't allow him to do it, then you're going to be somewhere else other than in the mainstream of God, if I can put it that way. I'm going to describe what outer darkness is one of these days, but I haven't got time today. Now, so that's the point. You're taken out of the kingdom of darkness and placed into the kingdom of light, and you can't possibly act or be the same person if you're saved. It's impossible. And then you learn the new country. You learn the new way. You learn to think like God by being in the Word of God and learn this Word, learn His plan, learn what He wants you to do. And then when you get to the kingdom, He's going to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few. I'm going to let you rule over many." I don't know about you. I want to hear that, "Well done." I want to hear that Jesus say, "Well done. I'm going to make you ruler over this." It isn't because I'm excited about ruling something. I'm excited about being blessed by Jesus Christ. That's what I'm excited about. And I think the whole thing's going to be exciting. It's way beyond anything we could imagine. But you're taken out of darkness and you're put into light. You can't be the same unless you keep living in the darkness all the time. And some Christians do that. And I got news. You live in darkness here, guess what's going to happen in heaven? You're going to live in darkness. Now that's exactly what it says. That's what the Word of God says. Some are going to be ruling and reigning. Some are going to be what is called outer darkness. That doesn't mean hell. It's a different place. Hadn't been taught much, but we're going to teach it eventually. Okay, now it's time to quit. I'm going to talk about next time more about the salvation and a bunch of other things. I'm going to tell you how to start living the Christian life if you're not. And let me say this again. If somebody came into your house, apartment, or wherever you live, could they just walk in and know whether or not you're a Christian? Could they? I don't even remember what I had on the walls of my house before, but I know what I got now. One of the pictures on the wall in my house is a carpenter shop. 2,000 years ago, And in that carpenter shop, there's a man, and he's working on something, and it's Joseph. And there's a little curly-haired boy down at the floor on that carpenter shop. And he'd picked up a big nail that his daddy used to nail things together. And that was the same nail that eventually would nail him to the cross of Calvary. That's a picture of Jesus in his daddy's carpenter shop. It reminds me of whose I am every single day. Because I'm striving for the prize. Not because I'm a pastor. I better do the best I possibly can. Because I'm going to be responsible for what I do and what I teach you. And I better get it right. Because that's what I'm going to be judged for. I won't get any, some of you will get more rewards than I am. Because you're doing more of what you've been called to do than maybe I am. So it's an equal playing field now, but it won't be later.